everybody. Welcome to another episode of Case in Point, episode 5. I'm your host, Justin Case, and with me is my co-host, Jody Yerden.
Hello, everybody.
And we're pleased to bring you this edition. I'd like to get started right off the bat with some plugs. And
it's good to be back. We were on a little bit of a hiatus over this summer. Just what's going on
and sickness. Yeah. And sickness. I'm ill. I'm getting over a cold right now, so I probably sound like Barry White, but that's okay.
You keep talking. Keep talking.
Hey, baby, it gets better after 9 p.m. You know, you dig.
Yeah, can you keep talking about the humanoids? That really turned me on.
Yeah, so, but how you doing, Jody? You doing pretty good?
I'm doing well. I'm doing very well.
Yep, summer's rolling down. Rolling, how do you say that? Summer is...
It's
winding down. My brain's not 100% tonight, people, so you have to bear with me. The signals are not getting clear.
I just drank a big glass of quarter after ten p.m. where I am, and I just drank a big glass of Coke Zero and a pretty good sized piece of cake.
We are opposite ends of the spectrum, so it's going to be.
We kind of are. I get your rally towels out. I'm ready to go.
So
I'm rebounding.
You're on the rebound. Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing like, 40 grams of caffeine and, I don't know, 60 grams of sugar.
The caffeine that's in the chocolate.
No, there was no chocolate. It was like a spice cake.
Oh, why did I have chocolate cake in my mind? Maybe it's because we were talking about the Fat Boys a few weeks ago. Who ate all these chocolate cakes? Pool, Mark! Or is it Cool? Cool and Mark, yeah. What's the keys, man?
From Disorderlies.
Disorderlies, yes.
They ate 80 cakes in a week.
It's music by Art of Noise, and it's a fine cinematic masterpiece. And check it out.
So you were mentioning you've got some plugs.
Yes, I have some plugs.
I want to plug Napoleon's House of Style right here on State Street.
Okay, I want you to do the plugs,
right here,
Jody.
On State Street here in Watertown, New York. What's that?
Can you do me a solid, Jody? Can you do the plugs this evening?
Sure.
Huh? Okay. Here we
Can
go.
Can I do the plugs?
Yeah, you do the plugs.
Doing, Justin Case's wardrobe is provided by Botany 500. Botany 500 for all your casual needs. Casual and...
Floorsheim shoes.
The finer things in life.
Floorsheim shoes. If you're going to buy a flute or shoe, make it Floorsheim.
Jody wardrobe provided by Benetton.
Stylish women.
I'm a Benetton man, and Jody's footwear provided by Jordache.
Jordache.
Yeah, Jordache sneakers. I had them fifth grade. My mom got them for me at Hills.
Didn't you have the jeans to go with them, like the acid wash?
They were teal with zebra print. Leopard print, excuse me, with teal. I thought they were awesome. I thought they were top notch.
Yeah, isn't it sad how you have clothing like that and you think it looks so great at the time? You're like, you know what? I'm the hottest thing on the streets tonight. And then you look back at those pictures and you're like, oh my gosh, I look terrible. So
it was a different time, but those shoes were teal and I thought they were awesome.
You know what, though? Here's the same.
I didn't even care that they were from Hills.
Everybody looked the same, though. Everyone dressed like that, so you can all feel rotten together. You know? So it was like when I started seventh grade my first day, I was texting you about that, Jody. It's like, I got a free haircut from this lady, and she was a bit overzealous.
Was she someone? We're handing out free haircuts. A lady in a shaky hand. Would you mind if she took a run at your hair?
She was smoking
like,
a cigarette.
Actually, and your mom's like, no, that's fine. You can do it.
Okay, here's how it went down. Here's how it went down, okay? So my mom had a friend who is a former cosmetologist, self-proclaimed cosmetologist, okay? And she's smoking a cigarette, and she's already like getting a buzz, right? So she sets the cigarette down, and she's got the scissors, and you know how they'll like take their fingers and hold your hair to like trim it with scissors to make like set the length. Well, you know, my memory's a little foggy at this point with this, but all I remember is that she didn't let go of that section of my hair, and then when she was all done, she overcompensated and left this huge gouge in the side of my hair, and I didn't realize it until that Monday morning we started school, and this kid comes up to me, he goes, "Case, what happened to your hair?" And I had this huge gouge. It was almost down to the scalp. So it looked like I had some kind of, like, Borg implants in the side of my head. But they forgot to shave my head. Oh, so
she didn't
bad.
Try to fix it or anything? She just, didn't think you were going to notice?
They totally missed it. They didn't. Nobody knew it was there. Not even she knew it. Because she was so, I don't know. She's terrible. And so, like, it was that Monday morning, I was draped in. Once again, thinking I look like the hottest thing, you know, in 1993, in school fashion. I had a denim shirt, and I had these jeans, and they were like Stefano Man, like a denim shirt and jeans, and this cheap, no-name varsity jacket from Stefano, from this store called Fashion Bug, and my sister had decked me out in this whole outfit. And I look like a second rate used car salesman, you know. I look terrible, and it was just it was a nightmare. And I forgot the combination to my locker, and so I ended up I had this huge duffel bag, and I just carried the books around the duffel bag, so I didn't have to worry about trying to get into my locker. And it was like that for 3 months, and I'd left a tuna sandwich in there, and it started to. It started to fester, and it started to stink up the whole wing of the school. 3 months, you know, you're talking, almost Thanksgiving, and they're like, "What is that smell?" Well, make a long story short, they pinpointed it to my locker, but I didn't want to own up to it. So they get the janitor to come down there, and he's like trying to get in, He gets it unlocked, and it just hit people like a ton of bricks, this tuna sandwich. And, from that point on, they gave me my combination, and they said, "Don't ever forget it again." So then I started using my locker 3 months into the school year in seventh grade, and it was very interesting. Seventh grade was very odd. But at any rate, I am way off track, so let's get on with those plugs,
that's
shall
okay.
we?
That's okay, that was a great... That's okay, that you Stefano Man, denim, with a varsity jacket, with the... generic varsity jacket. I appreciate that story. I've heard that story before, and I anything involving a denim suit, fully clad in denim and denim to toe, I'm okay with that.
Denim clad.
With that. I like it.
Yeah.
Look at that denim. Look at that.
Oh, that's sexy. You know. But
at least I never even had a denim shirt. If I did, it probably would have said like. Camel or something. Or what is that Winston on it?
Winston Blue Points, your Marlboro Points.
It would have been gratis.
You probably had those winter jackets from, that your dad Florida. Burned in the burning barrel. You probably burned those winter jackets in there, those Marlboro jackets.
No. He would not have done that. The Winston, the Rat Pack. They had this like cellophane pack that went around that was supposed to keep them fresher, I guess. I don't know.
I remember that.
But they had a full full line of can koozies and these black like suede jacket. It had these cuffs.
You get some Marlboro cufflinks.
Not cufflinks, but like the jacket had these black cuffs on it. It was high 1993 fashion.
Oh.
Yeah, we had towel all for years. We had beach towels that said Winston, the Rat Pack, and it was like like blue. Terrible, terrible. As at the time, like, well, if you buy this full pack, you know, you can get this Joe Camel ashtray that looks like a billiards table. Oh, I'm in. We'll buy like any kind of gimmick that you could get where they give away free loot. Because they don't do that anymore.
No, well, no. Promos suck now. They don't do anything. It's like, ooh, turn this in.
No, you get by law, we're not allowed to do that anymore, so.
Oh, really?
You know,
okay.
Rightly so, I think. If I can buy this four-pack here or buy this four-pack and get, you know, free t-shirt that has Bucks on it for Bucks cigarettes, then why not? The different time, all I'm saying is we had a lot of that stuff. Duffel bags and towels and just a different time. You wouldn't do this, but like at the time, you would think nothing of a kid to have like a Joe Camel t-shirt. You wouldn't think like he's 10, he smokes. No, you think, oh, you know, his parents must enjoy that brand.
Well, heck, I knew a kid that smoked when he was 5, so he took the stole cigarettes out of his mother's purse. So that's a straight up shoot, brother. That's a straight up shoot. Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, I don't think they smoked a lot. I just think that when they had to buy it, it was like, oh, let's, or you know, you save up the miles and then you can really.
That's
catch
right,
it.
The miles, Marlboro miles,
the miles.
They had the tents.
So we used to get them from people. Like, oh, you're gonna throw that away? Well, we'll take that.
Stack them up.
Yeah.
Well, heck, David, it's like you have a Kool-Aid points. You had a whole catalog of stuff you could buy Kool-Aid.
Pretty much. It was Kool-Aid points for adults. Yep. That's you're exactly right. That's what it was.
Yeah, free promo.
I don't we need to buy another duffel bag. We don't need to buy luggage. We'll just get these duffel bags. Or we don't need to buy towels or hats.
Yeah,
outfit the whole family in Joe Camel wear.
Yeah, we'll have a sleeping bag that smells like cigarette smoke. It's fine. You know, no big deal.
We did not have a sleeping bag, as far as I know. We might have had a tent, but...
I would have no shame sleeping in the tent. It wouldn't bother me, you know.
No, no. Just willing to, yeah. Just willing to didn't have to smoke while you're in it.
There's
not a lot of air in there.
Hot boxing it in your Marlboro tent out in the woods.
So I have a serious question to ask you.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so like I said, I was eating cake earlier. That's not the question. But so my birthday was last week. I turned 35 last week. And, you know, I actually, anybody who follows on Twitter, I'm at RegalFan. But I tweeted out a picture of all my gifts, right? And you look at the gifts. And I'm a big fan of birthdays. I like to... As been documented on my old podcast, because I got a lot of flack for it, but I'm a fan of birthdays. I figure, hey, if people want to buy me presents, I'm okay with that. That's all right. It's fine by me. I'm not going to tell them not to. I enjoy. Who doesn't enjoy presents? I enjoy presents. But I got a few presents for my birthday, and they were mostly from the kids, or there were things that I was like, I would like this, but you know, you save it for my birthday. And there were some Disney Infinity toys in there, and a couple of Lego sets. This is me, I'm 35. Lego sets that I plan on building with my son, and a couple of, a He-Man hardcover book, a DC's The New Frontier book, there's a Tito Santana toy in there. I guess what I'm getting at is there's toys and comics and... I suppose you could say unnecessary things. And plus, thinking about I'm 35, right? I'm as close to 50 as I am 20 at this point. And
gee, thanks. Jeez.
I think, yeah, right? It's an eye-opener for you. And I got thinking, and, like, I think, well, I thought to myself, when I'm 50, is this what my birthday is going to look like when I'm 50? And part of me thinks, no, I won't want any of this stuff when I'm 50, but part of me often thinks, well, you know what? This is the same stuff I did 20 years ago when I was 15. Why wouldn't I want it when I'm 50? I guess what I wanted to discuss, what I wanted to say was, What do you think? Do you, when we're 50, is this still going to be us? Because at 35, it's still us. We enjoy toys. We enjoy all this nerd stuff. I mean, I guess this is a different generation because, you know, when our parents grew up, it wasn't stuff like that. It was, oh, we got to get Dad a power tool and a tie or something along those lines. You know what I mean? Something more useful. Instead of just junk. But I guess what I'm trying to ask is, like, as we get older, I can't see myself being a 60-year-old man and buying this stuff, but I don't know. I guess at this point, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't want to be a 60-year-old man, but and buy stuff like that. But hey, if they keep making cool stuff, I don't know why I wouldn't. I guess I'd like your thoughts on this.
My thought is be passionate about what you want to be passionate about, and it doesn't matter how old you are.
I agree.
And if you, at that point, you still are passionate about the stuff. Now, within reason, okay? You don't want to end up on hoarders because you have all this merchandise in your house. And then you got to, like, you know, next thing you know, you're 70 or 75. And then your kids are going to have to deal with it. And I think within reason, I think you should be passionate about something and not have a lot of tangible things. I mean, you could still have... At that point, we're going to probably just have digital media that doesn't take up any room, you know. I think that as long as you're not letting it take over your life and you have the means to keep it a hobby and not let it take place of maybe paying your bills or keeping up on your health care or letting it interfere with your relationships with your friends and family, I don't see a problem with it. I mean, think about the guys that are, you know, retired and they still like model trains and they'll sit down at these railroad clubs all day long and they're surrounded by the stuff. They enjoy it. And you know what? I'm going to say that toys or comics or whatever passion you're into, whether it be music or movies or any hobby, it is a necessary thing. It is not, if it keeps you healthy, it keeps you happy. And it's something that gives you a purpose or something to look forward to. It is necessary. Okay, it's more than a hobby. And that's my position on it. And because, you know, trying to stay positive and stay happy and is so important to us as human beings. So, you know what? I support it 100% as long as it doesn't intrude into those areas I just spoke about where you have this mountain of stuff in your house or you're financially strapped and you're buying all this stuff. That's my thought on it. And that's my take on it, Jody. A very good question, by the way.
It seems to me like I just think of like our demographic, our generation,
the Peter Pan generation. Like, yeah.
This is the first generation that didn't really have to grow up. I mean, you look at something like comics, or even like, you know, toys and stuff like that. The average age of the people are buying it. It's not kids. It's not kids that are buying comics. I believe the last study I'd seen was within the last year. So the average age is like, maybe I'm having it confused with video games. But like, I'll go with video games because I know this one's true. The average person that plays video games is 29 years old. It's not a kid. And it's the same thing with comics. It's not kids that are buying it. It's adults. It's people that have been buying them their entire life, and they're buying them now. So I just wonder, like, where does that end? Is that going to be the case in 15 years? Because at this point, I would say, yeah, I think it would be. I would think it would continue. Which is kind of, I mean, I suppose it's a question for way down the line, but, you know, in 40, 50 years from now, well, then what? When we're all gone, what then? Where does this generation go? But I would think in 40, 50 years from now, you won't have comic books to begin with. So,
well, you know, people move on, but I will say that, you know, our predecessors didn't have this type of stuff because, number one, it really wasn't available to the scale it is now. It wasn't readily available. There was no internet. There was no globalization. The other thing is, you got to remember, the people before us, they were busy fighting in wars. Okay, they were drafted.
Sure.
They were drafted in the military. They were busy taking care of business and defending our country. Also, a lot of them had factory jobs. They didn't have tech jobs where they can always, oh, I'm going to go pop on my phone for a second and go see if I can find this item. No, they didn't have that. So it's because it's all at your fingertips now, and that all started this kind of availability for cartoons, action figures, comics on the scale. It started to steadily increase in the late 70s and then through the 80s and 90s, and it's snowballed into this huge crescendo of Comic-Cons and everything, and that's my take on it. And I think just simply because it's there and it's something that you are passionate about, and you know, I think that to a certain degree it's going to be there for several decades to come, and I don't think it's going to go away that quick unless people get totally boring and get so fascinated with other things that these fall on the wayside. But I think that to a certain degree it's always going to be there. I mean, look at Star Trek fans and Star Wars. A lot of, you know, people could have written them off and said, well, it'll go for a few years and it'll die off. It never did. Even if it's low points, it still had this presence. You know, there were still conventions and, you know, grassroots, you know, type conventions and, like, I don't know, it's like the Trekkies video where they're in the Midwest there, and it's Vulcan. Was that Vulcan? The town of Vulcan, and I can't remember which state it is. Jody, is it North Dakota, or you know what I'm talking about? It's
I thought it was. It's not Iowa. Yeah, maybe it is North.
It
Dakota.
Is Iowa. No, you're right. Because remember, there was those one guys that did that fan film. They were in Iowa, and they, you know,
look Starship at, Iowa. Yeah, I thought it might be Iowa.
Yeah, they had that green elevator with, you know, the Vulcan on it or whatever. But the thing is, look at the ages they were. Those guys were in their 50s and 60s, and they're still talking about it. They're having conventions, and
right. They're
having parades and everything. So I think as long as there's an interest, it'll just keep going. And quite frankly, at 35 years old, I don't care what people think of me and what I'm into.
No, as I grow older, I really don't. I'm wearing a Toy Story shirt that my children bought me for my birthday right now. And I wore it to work today, and I didn't really care. I'm like, it was a gift for my kids. I'm happy to wear this.
Exactly.
I was just thinking, too, you know, with our generation, kids that grew up in the 80s and the 90s, I really feel, too, everyone has an affinity for their childhood, be it if you grew up in the 60s, 70s,
always.
Whatever.
Yes, always.
But I feel that this generation has a... At least it was the first generation that had a lot of, it was the MTV generation with cable and, you know, with TV. It's just a different, with cartoon. I mean, '60s, '70s had cartoons, but it was a little bit different in the 80s with malls were coming into prominence. Toys were coming into prominence.
Yeah.
And I think it's the first generation that is, I think we all wish for a simpler time. The 80s and 90s
I do.
Are viewed with a much simpler... I mean, smartphones are great, the internet is great, but, you know... Or,
I hate them.
Being able to get on your phone or on your computer, buy an album, like a touch of a button is great, but I think...
Takes the magic away. It's not the same.
Sure. People ultimately think back and think, man, remember when I had to sit by the radio for 3 hours and hit record on the boombox and try and, the guy was talking over the song I wanted to listen to, but at least I got most of it. Like,
here's the only way you could
hear a song. You had to wait 3 hours to hear it and hope to record it on a blank tape of a bunch of random stuff on it. That was it.
It was the thrill of the hunt. It was the thrill of the hunt, man. And that was half the fun of it was, think of it this way, to put in perspective of gamers, okay? It's like having a video game and having someone give you all the cheat codes and everything and every little step to do so that you make sure you get everything. Where's the fun in that? There's no effort involved. And it has taken the fun out of these hobbies and the experience. And this is my opinion. Now, other people disagree with me, that's fine. Not having the stuff where you can go out to a shopping mall, have social events with your friends and just go walk around, have a good time. That's all part of being human and being social and getting out of your house. and whether it be spending time with your family, your kids, or your friends, or I mean, I miss the days of having a bunch of different malls to go to and retailers, because, you know, you could go shop around for different bargains or say, hey, this guy's selling it for this much. Would you guys be willing to sell it for this or whatever? There was, you know, a lot of, there was just a lot more options out there, and I miss having all those options. Just think about it. Yeah, we didn't have internet and stuff in the 80s and, you know, for the most part, early 90s, but there were so many different options of stores to go to. You didn't need the internet. Okay, the internet has replaced all those options, and quite frankly, if it were up to me, I might be an idiot for saying this, but I like the old way. I like the old having the retailers there where I can just go in the store, see it, put it in my hands, and get an idea, because I can't tell you how many times I've ordered something, this is not what I thought it was, because you can't hold it in your hands and look at it. And, case in point for me would be maybe a guitar amp or even a guitar, you know, because they don't carry these things locally. I can't try them out. So I'm taking a crapshoot on these things. And, I mean, I've made out pretty good so far, but there are certain items. Look, you go to a shopping mall and you have to try clothes on. Especially, you know, in a lot of women, they like to actually go try things on. And if you go into a shopping mall now, it's mostly clothing. It's mostly clothing, food court, movies, and it's the things that cannot bypass the traditional retail experience. And I love it. I think it's great. And here's the other thing, too, is that you got some of these shopping malls that have added Gold's Gym to some of these vacant areas. I love it when they repurpose instead of tearing down. And it's some of these businesses that keep the mall experience alive and give opportunity to some smaller businesses to go in there. And, you know, it's quite possible that you could see a resurgence in the traditional retail. I've actually started to see some of that. It just depends on what the economy does. I think there's still a demand for it, because I think for a while this Amazon culture of shopping, I think people are going to get sick of it. After a while, people get sick of things, and a different style is going to have to take place. And, you know, they say how the market has its ups and downs. Well, hey, who's to say it doesn't go back to the way it used to be? Because, you know, generations that are coming up, they're going to be like, hey, wait a second. I want to be able to hold this in my hands or at least see it before I buy it. We don't know. That could happen. There's nothing saying it can't happen. And, I mean, that's just me. That's a whole separate podcast on its own, but I guess getting back to it, yeah, I think the thrill of the hunt is what I personally like about the traditional retail over the internet stuff. I mean, if you already know what it is, you used to be able to find a good deal on something on Amazon or versus what you could buy in the store. But now everyone's kind of caught up to that, and you can't go on Amazon and save $30 on a Blu-ray or on a DVD set or something. That just doesn't happen. And, you know, Hastings is an example of a multimedia store that generally would overprice products, and you could go on Amazon and get them cheaper, but now they're closing down. They're closing down. I was just in there today, and even 40 to 60% off, well, with that discount, their markups were so bad that now you're paying what everyone right. else has it listed for right now.
Right.
I just bought an
eight. Are they moving a lot of merchandise, or is it pretty stagnant?
They've moved quite a bit. There's a lot of empty shelves, but right now, they're selling comic books, brand new comics, for 60% off. And,
yeah.
And they're just trying to get rid of. They got comic books in there, CDs. The CDs are pretty well picked over. It's like, I don't have any desire to have a Bruce Hornsby anthology set. I really don't.
You don't?
No.
You don't want to hear Valerie whenever you want to listen to it?
Wasn't he also Walking in Memphis? Wasn't he the...
No, that's Mark Kahn. No, that's Valerie.
Put on
Valerie.
Your blue suede shoes. Walking in Memphis.
Yeah, that's Mark Kahn. Yeah, that's the way it is. Some things will never change.
That's just the way it is.
That's on the same boy.
Yeah. It's friggin' lame.
What's funny? I just listened to that on Amazon Prime, like, I don't know, a month and a half or something, and I was laughing.
Isn't it crazy how they get up? So that was pop radio.
Lame, but
they were always on.
Yeah.
Even when Nirvana and stuff was big, like, first come out in 91, 92, Paula Abdul, Bruce Hornsby, and frickin',
Both were still pretty big.
Yeah.
Time and Tenderness tour, 93, baby.
Time, Love, and Tenderness. Rabbit trail.
So they're you said they're going out of business. I will say, like, I've been, if a business is going out of business, if something is going out of business, I'll be there to check it out. And like everybody else, picture the remains, like La Volta that I am. And there's, you're one of two, as I've gotten older, and unfortunately more businesses have gone out of business, your Borders books, your Circuit Cities, your Blockbuster videos, they've gone out of business. It's very thrilling to me. It's very thrilling to be in there when they're going out of business, and the thrill, like you said, to see what you can find in there, find it a really great price. But it's also a very, as I've gotten older and have been in more of these, it's kind of depressing. Like, I remember when our Blockbuster here went out of business, and I walk in there and I'm like, this is the last time I'll ever be in here, because I think they're closing the next week, and they're just, I knew that this was the last go-around. There just wasn't much to see left in there anymore. Like, this is it. This is the last time I'll be in here. And I was pretty sad. I spent a lot of time at Blockbuster, either renting movies or buying games, or I spent a lot of time in there, and it was kind of sad. And now the building that housed our Blockbuster has been totally torn down to make way for a new garage. So a garage like a Goodyear is building a business there, but it's kind of sad. They're going out of business.
A lot of people are not sad about it. And here's the deal: all those retailers you mentioned, guess what they all have in common? Overpriced. Like 20 to 30% over what everyone else was charging. And nobody was sad to see Blockbuster go away. I know I wasn't. I hardly ever went in there. And I remember.
Oh, I was, because I would go in there and buy all the pre-owned movies, anything that I wanted. I'd go in there.
Oh,
and
the
buy,
ones that are scratched up and have fingerprints? Yeah.
I never had any problems with them.
Well, I will tell you, though, anytime I went in there to look. Anytime I went in there to look, oh, yeah, they got 43 copies of, used copies of Speed 2. Yeah, I'm all over this,
Most of it was crap, but if you went in there during the right sale, and you could, actually, you could look, and they had a tag on there that would say when they put them out, and you could go, well, this has been out for a year and a half. That means it's probably seen a lot of DVD players. So you'd look for a newer one and buy that. And they hadn't been out. I got hip to how they ran things. I bought so many DVDs and video games and stuff there. I never had a problem with any of them.
Oh, sure, they all work fine. I mean, it's whenever I went in there to go look at stuff, I found out about it too late, and it was just like, I don't need to have a scratched up copy of Pikmin. I really, really don't care. Or remember that game Pikmin? It's so obscure, but it was one of those games you'd always see that nobody wanted to buy, and it was just around, and it was like either that or I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but
Tulip by Sea, only $6.99 for a pre-owned copy. Okay,
isn't that the one with
I think Dennis Leary's in it.
Oh, yes.
I think Dennis Leary and Sandra Bullock are in it.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God. How about,
I've never seen it, but...
Or I want a copy of Green Card. I love this, or whatever that... or Soap Dish.
That's one of the movies I've ever seen in my life.
Was it Green Card? Was it Gerard Depardieu in that one? I can't remember.
yes, you're right. That's correct.
Oh, man, we've strayed...
So, anyway...
Yeah.
He, you, Yeah, you're right. Everything's overpriced, but it's a destination, especially with all those places we just mentioned. It's a destination. You'd all think they're overpriced, but maybe you would go in there just to look around or kill a half hour just to take in the sights. And that's one less hangout. That's one less place to go.
You know what? Maybe the thing too is maybe people are just too busy for that now.
I think at this point people are just more savvy. You can't go into a Borders Books. Our Borders went out of business four years ago at this point. You can't go in there and expect somebody to buy. I mean, it happens. I'm sure it happens, but you can't have these hardcover books for $26.99. Granted, I suppose if it's a Harry Potter book or a Stephen King book or something that's, high profile, people will pay full price for that. But people are not stupid. They're not going to pay full price for this stuff.
For crying out loud, I better have a hair follicle for cloning included with a book for $26.99. Jeez.
anytime I went into our Borders before they went out of business, a lot of foot traffic. They had a lot of people in there, but they're there to maybe have a cup of coffee or look at the books, or it was just an eating place, or look through the bargain books. People were not going to spend $26.99 for a hardcover book unless you had a coupon. Or what I would do is go in there and visit my own personal library. Not meaning I would sit there and read it, but I would go in, find something I wanted, and then say, I can probably find this cheaper on Amazon. And
nothing wrong with that.
Nine times out of ten, that was correct.
Well,
unfortunately, it all ties into what I was saying before. I think we all wish for a simpler time without 210 channels of stuff I'm not going to watch on my TV, where you had three channels and everything wasn't so niche. Everything is very niche at this point.
You know what I think, though? I think with these retailers and cable and everything like that, I think it's going to get trimmed down to a certain amount, but then after a while, I think you're going to... It's kind of like burning the grass down, burning a field to let the new grass grow through. I think you're going to have retailers reemerging that... it's quite possible, I should say. I'm not saying it's likely, but it's quite possible that... that there'll be a resurgence, and the playing field will be leveled, and you'll have other retailers come in that are going to be competitive. Because
I don't know though, so they're getting so whittled down that I think it's just hard to compete with your Walmarts and your Amazons. Those are the two big. Those are the powerhouses. It's hard to compete with that.
But you know what though, I think that if people got more innovative in their marketing strategies and came up with some different ideas. Because you got to remember, even someone like Walmart, they're seen as an aged retailer at this point. And
that's true.
Have lost ground because of their... So what they've tried to do is they've tried to revise their business model a little bit to freshen things up. JCPenney bounced back because they closed some stores down, but then I read up on them, and they have actually, because they have revamped their business model and re-strategized, repositioned themselves, they're actually getting quarterly gains again. So I think
that's nice.
Yeah, it is. I felt pretty good about that. Can't say the same for Sears, but
no.
Yeah, but we'll see what happens. Every time I watch, I spent Thursday afternoon watching Dead Mall, the Dan Bell Dan Mall videos and the Dead Mall series that he's got on there. I love it. But I love to watch those. They're like a sweet pain. They're depressing, but they're interesting at the same time. So
definitely.
Oh yeah.
We're all nostalgic for those bustling malls with just bustling malls with neon lights and grand fountains and stuff in the middle of them. We all get very nostalgic for the... I'm very nostalgic for the 80s. I'm the first one to
Me too. Hey, count me in. Count me in, because it was a fun time. But here's the deal. Now, what they have said is that the other malls that are actually taking more of a... the open air malls are actually what people like. And I'm like, you know what? That's okay too. Open air malls are just fine. Those are little retail stores. And the only difference is it's not really enclosed. And those seem to do really well because a lot of them are outlet stores that, especially in vacation areas. I know we go to the beach. My wife and I go to the beach. Her aunt has a beach house down there over on the Oregon coast. And they've got a bunch of outlet stores down there. Those things do great. I mean, you can get some great deals, and they're always booming with people. And it's awesome. I mean, that's where I go shopping for clothes. You know, whenever I go down there, because you go down there every year, and I just get like a big stack of like the same shirt, just in different colors, because I'm like, just cover my back. You know, it's all I care about. I'm not there to make a fashion statement. I'm there to put my time in, collect my paycheck, and go home. And it's great. You get your whole summer decked out, or your whole winter decked out, and it's great. And yeah, so I think open air malls are doing very well. So retail's not dead, it's just taking on a different form, and that's a relief of sorts. You can still find some good deals. I mean, because you still got to buy clothes, you still have to get shoes. If you're into sports, you still got to go and try equipment out and throw footballs or whatever you needed to try on a baseball glove or try some snowshoes. I don't know. But, I don't know many snowshoers, but anyway. I think at this point, we're 41 minutes in. Let me do a few plugs real quick.
Yes,
we got way off the rails.
That was my fault. That was your fault.
You know what? There's no faults here.
Let's hear some plugs.
There's no faults. This is my podcast. We're all good.
Case in point is brought to you this week by Ray Cerrone, the San Francisco.
Killing me.
Also brought to you by Turtle Wax.
And Liberty Mutual, because you could die tomorrow.
And Colonial Penn Life Insurance.
Dr. Levine's knee strap.
And Lee Press On Nails.
Okay, for real, I'm going to do it this time. We've got a fireside chat with Ryan McCormick. And
these are all podcasts,
and they're some folks that we really dig, and they
friends of the show.
Yes, and I'm a little sluggish this evening, folks. Ryan McCormick, he's got his podcast, Fireside Chat, and his Twitter handle is @FiresideChat. I really like his show. He's a realist. He tells it like it is, and that's the way I do it. And I can really relate to that guy. So that's a great. That's a really.
Now you mentioned his Twitter handle. What's his CB handle?
It's a hot tamale.
This is Grimace 246. Grimace,
come in. Hey, this is Lucky Seven. What's your handle?
You ruby. Lucky Seven.
This is Hot Tamale. You copy? Anyway, and we have the McSauce podcast with Paul McGinty and Ian Sharpley. They have
and Matt Cassell
and their buddy Cassell. Matt there, which it's very entertaining to listen to three of those converse about the movies and that they've seen, and it's just funny. Listen to the show, you know what I'm talking about. And Paul McGinty can be reached on Twitter at Gint, I think it's underscore McSauce, and Ian Sharpley is @TheSauce. So those are the Twitter handles for those gentlemen. And they
Sauce, S-O-S-S, not S-A-U-C-E.
That's right.
Sauce, S-O-S-S.
Yeah, so the best thing you can do is follow our Twitter handle @KitKar83 and
KitKar83, not written out, just the number 83. These are very important. You have to be very literal on Twitter. I've had to look for.
Oh, you do. It's
yeah.
I know it's crazy, and we had to pick an entirely different handle because. But there's already, someone's already using ours, so
Yeah, and your original one was what? Miles O'Brien, 26.
Miles Beard. It, get it right. Yeah, Miles Beard.
Miles Beard. Now, that could go for either. That could go for Miles O'Brien or
Devin Miles.
From Knight Rider. Devin Miles.
Devin Miles.
Oh, Miles,
you know what's funny about Miles that? Standard. There's an episode where Devin's in jail and he grows a beard. He's starting to grow a beard. It's very funny because it's very, like, iron gray. It's hilarious. And he's
also. Yes, I'm sorry.
He's denim
sorry.
Plaid.
I'm all fired up.
I know you're fired up.
could also have gone for Plymouth, Massachusetts founder Miles Standish, or possibly even Miles Mayhem from the NASCAR.
I'm related to Miles Standish, believe it or not, sir. I'm a,
really?
Yes, I am blood
like a
relative.
Lot of hogwash to me.
Well, you can say it to my mom. You can tell Dawn Case that, huh? I don't think so.
Oh, baloney. Really? Your blood relative of Miles Sims? How do I know you for 20 years and, like, this just comes out now? Like, oh, yeah, I'm related to Miles Standish. So, remember the time? No, I'm not even going to get into it. But we've covered, I think, in the first episode of the show. He lied to me before. I don't know whether it's true or not.
It's a straight up shoot, man. It's a straight up shoot.
Yeah, okay. Miles Standish. I played Miles Standish in a third grade production.
Really?
I'm proud of that. Yeah.
Is there any footage of this production?
Underground footage. Not that I know of.
It's like the Star Wars Christmas special. It's like handed off inside a paper bag. So.
Yeah, all known copies were destroyed due to Travis Porter's portrayal of Abraham Lincoln. We didn't want that to get out. Which I know, I don't know. He had to deliver, like, he's our friend from life, but from that old comic smell. I believe he had to deliver the Gettysburg Address or part of it at the end of the play, which was about pilgrims, which really doesn't make much sense, but I guess it all fit. I thought it was I was Miles Standish, the mayor of Plymouth, Massachusetts. You know, the pilgrims. I thought I was like a big shot. Like, oh, they chose me to be the mayor because I am clearly the smartest person here. I had a big ego in third grade.
Oh, really?
Must have been the sweatpants. Yeah, must have been the sweatsuits. I'm not sure.
Dude, you had a big ego in ninth grade. What are you talking about?
Thank you.
Yeah, you had that frickin' Broncos jersey, and you had that Elway jersey, and you would not talk to me because I had a Marino jersey. And
yeah, we were blood enemies. My mom was a Dolphins fan, and I did not like the Dolphins.
That's why.
I didn't like them. They were an AFC. They weren't even division one, but I did not like the Dolphins at all, so...
Yeah, they suck. They were
Sunday
a sucky
house,
team, but
was,
I liked them anyway.
It was Teal Zubaz and Marine Frizzies and Dolphin sweatshirts. Oh, my sister was also a Dolphins fan at the time, so it was, I did not like the Dolphins. And I saw you were waving your superiority around with your, you had two Marino jerseys. I don't want to listen to that. Maybe I look down and I'm like, you like the same team that my mom and my sister like. Those are cool. Those are women that don't even watch much football. How come you like Dolphins now?
Dan Marino, that's why.
Oh, I thought maybe it was Fawd Privies, their all-star kicker.
No, it's was it a Garo Yaprimian or whatever the punter's name?
Who's that?
His name was like, oh, boy. It's Mark Duper and...
Mark Duper.
You know, Irving Fryer and Mark Duper and who else? Scott Mitchell was the backup quarterback for a while before he went and played for the Detroit Tigers. Or Detroit Lions, excuse me. I'm so loopy right now. That's funny.
Did you have any more plugs before I rudely cut you off with all this Miles Standish talk?
You know, plugs as far as, let's see, because there's a few podcasts I listen to, but those people don't know I exist because they're big shots, And I really like the Flair podcast. His new, I haven't listened to a whole lot of his new podcast yet, but as far as I'm concerned, that's the best wrestling podcast out there. Him and his sideman there, Conrad Thompson. I really dig that.
You don't think he listens to this show?
No. Who am I? I'm just a speck, you know, on the windshield of Ric Flair, if that. So, but anyway, let's see. I like the Howard. There's a podcast in the UK, and it's called the Unexplained with Howard Hughes. I like that one. His name is Howard Hughes, not to be confused with the billionaire. It's a pretty cool show. He's got a wide range of guests. Some of them I kind of cherry pick who I listen to on that one. He's got some pretty cool. Some of the guests he have on there are pretty good. So there's that one. I think that's about it right now for what I listen to for other podcasts other than the folks we know. How about you, Jody? Just the wrestling ones, right? Do you have any comic ones you listen to?
No, not really comic book ones much, except for McSauce, of course.
Right.
Not really much anymore. I've been listening to a lot of audiobooks.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember you've said that in the
15,
past.
I listened to like 15 books since May, I think. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, some are longer than others.
I could pull some strings and get you the Willow soundtrack on an audiobook if you're interested.
I would be interested in that, yeah.
You can.
Why is Mad Mortigan?
I was going to bring up Mad Mortigan. Yeah. Oh, boy. I can smell popcorn wafting through the floor because my wife has made popcorn. We have a popcorn maker, a theater style one upstairs in the loft, and my son wanted to do, can we do family movie night? And I can smell the popcorn despite the fact that I have a cold. It's that strong and I can actually smell it. That's amazing.
Are they waiting for you to start like Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs or something?
Yeah. We'd probably, what did I try to watch with them last week? It was, there was something I was watching and he says, this is scary. I don't want to watch this. And it was a show that wasn't really scary. It was a movie that wasn't even scary. And I can't remember what it was off the top of my head, but, they were watching the Tim Burton rendition of, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory before I started recording tonight. And I actually like that one. Because you know what? The first time I watched it was at that duplex you guys were renting out back in 2007. And I really like that version. I like both of them, honestly. I know that God rest his soul, Gene Wilder, he was not a fan of the movie. But as a casual viewer of the film, I enjoyed it. Because I'm a big Christopher Lee fan. I know that Johnny Depp looked like Nancy Pelosi in that movie, but aside from that, it's the hair and the smile, those pearly whites. I'm a big Tim Burton mark. I like most of the stuff he's done. So,
yes.
Oh, man, yeah. His Batman stuff is like, I love it. Has a special place in my heart. It's artistic. I love it. And if I was, you know, if I had the means, I'd be an artsy fartsy. I wouldn't even have a day job. I'd just go and do and make movies and do music scores and things of that nature. But, being a fan is cool, too. And I really dig that kind of artistic flair. And I like what he did with the Batman movies with the everything kind of had like a swirly, you know, you think about like the penguins, the wheels on penguins, duckmobile, and you've got the, the umbrella, and then you've got like the Joker's stuff that he had where it was like Tim Burton delivered it in such a way that even though it was cartoony looking, he made it fit on the big screen in like a real live action setting, and it was just perfect the way he did it. And it's like, you know, you got Joker going through, and you know, not the Guggenheim. What was that name of that museum that he went through where he could eat dinner and stuff? Remember Vicki Vale was waiting for him?
Yeah, I remember.
He was supposed to be there to meet Bruce Wayne. And, Yeah. Jason would be, he'd go nuts right now if he when he hears this, because, oh, man, it's a Flugelheim or something. I don't know. I don't remember. Anyway, I just love that kind of stuff. The colors he picked in his movies, and he just makes them pop, you know, and I even watched Alice in Wonderland and liked it, and I haven't seen the second one yet, but.
Wow. Good,
yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, Crispin Glover's in it, which is
is this the new one or the original, or the sequel?
It's the original. This is the first Tim Burton one. I haven't seen the sequel yet. I don't think it's out on DVD yet.
No, it really tanked, so it won't be long.
Yeah, right. So, but yeah, I.
I'm also a big Tim Burton fan. Pee Wee's Big Adventure is probably one of my top three all time favorite movies.
Excellent.
Plus, even stuff like Big Fish, I'm a huge fan of. I don't know if you've ever seen. Have you ever seen that?
Are you a fan of Big Fish? I've never watched it. It didn't do much for me. The trailer did.
It's one of his best movies. It's great.
Yeah,
it's a great movie. I really think you'd like that movie. It's very whimsical.
Oh, okay.
So more of a personal story.
It's
real. It's actually, to me, it's probably the last really good movie he made, because after that is when he started doing remakes and TV properties, and I have felt like the last 15 years of movies that he's made have been not very personal. I feel like he's making them to make a quick buck.
Well,
that movie's great.
That's he's had the same movie. Hair since the 80s, man. Tim Burton has had the same look since the 80s. And his life partner, that Helen Carter lady, she's usually in all
Helen
his movies.
Helen Carter! Helena Bonham Carter.
Oh, yeah, there you go. See if I didn't put in,
sure
I didn't put in the
sure
middle name, so it made it sound like...
His wife, June Carter Cash, something like that.
That's awesome, dude. It's like Sandy, his wife Sandy.
Fanny Carter, Danny Carter. I don't know. I don't remember.
Fanny Farter. yeah. So I was I think the last episode we did, I was going to talk about this. This Star Trek.
Yes, you promised me a story, right?
Yeah, there's a story on the. Yeah,
yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Okay, so here goes. Harken back
here's
about
the story tickets.
What's that?
Here's a story time. Well, this is a bonus. We already got your Stefano Man denim story early on in the podcast.
My Stefano Man varsity jacket.
No, it was from.
Desk rash on the that I couldn't restore the sleeves because they were all blackened. Anyway,
from Fashion Bar, did they sell men's clothes or boys' clothes?
Dude, I don't know how my sister acquired this jacket, because I don't even think I was in this.
If they had shoulder pads in it, it wasn't from dudes.
No, there were no shoulder pads. Unless she took them out. Maybe she took them out. She knew how to alter clothing, because she used to design and make her own clothing. So
what you're telling me is that it's totally possible that this could have been women's clothing, and you might not be any wiser.
At this point, anything's possible, Jody. Anywho, yeah. So I went to this. There was a local library here, and they did a. There's a charity called Second Harvest. And they did a couple of charities, and they had another one for, it was, they had a charity for a women's shelter, you know, and so they were kind of, this local Star Trek fan club, it's defunct now. I tried looking for it, and I couldn't find them, and I don't remember the name of it, but usually what these fan clubs do is they name their club after a ship, like the USS Fart Blossom, or, you know, something along those lines, and... you know, I went in there, my buddy Ian and I, he's from the UK, and, he moved over here to work, to find a job, and he was still here at the time. I think he's back in the UK now, but, we went into this thing, and, It was pretty cool. It was set up like the 1960s style 10-forward lounge. And so all the tables were set up with these really nice... they had like these, you know, 60s style Star Trek insignias, like lamps in the center of each table. And they had rented out this banquet room in the side of this library. Excuse me. And they had a big TV there playing like fan favorite episodes from all spans of Trek. And they had Trouble with Tribbles was on there. And then they had, let's see, one of the other ones was they had an episode of Voyager. And I got there kind of late, so I didn't know what else they played. But so they shut that off, and then they had this producer that was there. And his name was David Foster, and he was from he's from Richland, Washington. So this event was held in Kennewick, Washington, and it was really interesting because he brought this big binder full of all these pictures and on the different projects for Paramount he had worked on and different Star Trek projects he'd worked with, and he's been to conventions all over the world, and it was interesting.
Had you heard of the guy before?
I'd actually heard of him. Yeah, I'd heard of him. And I was like, oh, okay, because he's one of those guys that's involved in, you know, making the sausage, you know, behind the scenes. And it was really cool because he talked about this, how there he had a pitch for a new Star Trek series. And this was about 4 years ago. So I'm not entirely sure, but it's quite possible that the new... series is being worked on right now. It could have been one of his ideas. I'm not sure about that, but you know, it's just really interesting to, you know, to be, you know, in the presence of anyone who's in the Star Trek production business. I think it's just you know, it's really cool as a fan. And the fact that, you know, Star Trek fan clubs have always been very good about supporting charities, and it really shows the heart behind Star Trek fans. And it's kind of cool because, man, you go to those things, even if it's a local one, like the one I went to, and there's no, people aren't there making fun of you, there's no judgment, there's no, everyone's just there to have a good time and be friendly and enjoy Star Trek. And it's one of those things that it makes me gravitate. I don't have a uniform, and I'm not card carrying or anything like that, but... I am a big fan of the show, and it's cool to see the fans enjoy it, you know, on that level. And it's really, you know, a lot of new friendships are made and things like that. But it was a lot of fun. It was really cool. And the fact that they decked out an entire banquet room at a public library like the Enterprise 10-forward lounge from the 60s was pretty cool. And it really bummed me out because I went and tried to find these guys, and they're not around. Because I think
yeah, this was a club, right?
Were it was they, a club, were they recruiting? Yeah. What's that?
Were they recruiting?
They were recruiting. Yes.
If there's breath, in my lungs.
He goes. If you see us on the street and breath comes forth, we're recruiting.
This is from Trekkies.
Trekkies, yes. A Beta Z, a Bajoran recruiter said that, and it was very funny, but. That was the first time I saw Carl's Jr. was on that documentary, because I remember I said, Jody, what is that? You go, oh, it's a Carl's Jr. Like that, you had a very scornful tone to your voice when you said it.
Oh, is that so? Only time I've ever eaten at a Carl's Jr. was with you and your father-in-law when I went over to visit.
Oh, yeah, and when you visited me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. We could do a whole podcast about do an episode about different like fast food chains. Wouldn't that be cool?
Do you think people want to hear that?
I don't know.
Give us a seat, Kim Mac. I'm okay with that. I would talk about that.
Well,
I'm ready for that. Give us some feedback. If you want to hear me talk about Arby's, I'll keep it under 5 minutes.
If you want to hear a guy talk about his experience at Hardee's, how he had a guy look like Sonny Bono running the register and telling him to, hey, buddy, hand this burger to the guy around the corner. Tell him he can doctor it up any way he wants. If you want to hear stories like that.
No, that wasn't at Hardee's. That was at a Roy Rogers.
Was it a Roy Rogers we stopped at? It was a...
Yeah, it was a...
Is Roy Rogers?
No, it was Roy Rogers. Give me the Gold Rush chicken sandwich. That's what I want.
Remember that he handed that sandwich to me? He goes, "Hey, give this to the guy around the corner. Tell me he could doctor it up any way he wants." Remember that?
Yeah, you're running. He didn't even know we knew each other. He's just giving you my dinner to hand to me.
Yeah,
rather than walking it around himself or saying, "Excuse me, sir, here's your chicken sandwich." He's like, "Hey, hand this to that guy over there, would you?"
He told him, that was his exact words. He goes, "Hey, buddy, hand this to the guy around the corner. Tell me to doctor it up any way he wants." And you go, "Hey, that guy looks like Sonny Bono." You said he looked like Sonny Bono. It was very funny. We're coming back from a concert. Or was we going to the Malmsteen concert, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That was near Orchard Park.
That's a show in itself. That's a show in itself.
Yeah. We should talk about the Malmsteen concert on an episode 2, our experience of the Malmsteen concert.
Yeah. Make a mental note, yes.
Yeah, I'll jot that down.
It'll be all Roy Rogers and Yngwie Malmsteen concert talk.
And for those of you not in the know, Yngwie Malmsteen is a Swedish guitar shredder.
They know.
Extraordinary.
But if they listen to this show, they're probably, if they know you personally, they're amazed that you got 5 episodes in before you had an Yngwie Malmsteen reference. I am.
Yeah.
I'm very amazed.
Well, I'm trying to shoehorn that stuff in, Jody. You know, I don't want them to totally unplug at this point, you know. Yeah, so, man, there's like so many stories to tell.
So you told me, you were just telling me your story about Star Trek. Last time we talked, we were talking about whether or not Star Trek conventions, if they still exist. Did you look into that at all?
Yeah, I did a little bit of research on that, and I found that there are 2 big conventions still that are dedicated strictly to Star Trek. There's one in Vegas, which has been around as far as I can tell. I mean, 20, 30 years. And there's another one in New York. And actually, this weekend, New York City, they are having the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. There's a big convention going on right now this weekend. Shatner's there, and it's, man, just an amazing turnout. But it looks like it's like mass humanity, like San Diego Comic-Con level, which is cool if it's just for Star Trek, because the fans have really come out in droves. I saw the Twitter update from Star Trek Online, because it's an online game that I like to play. And, man, I tell you, if you're a Star Trek fan and you like playing online games, oh, man, you got to check that out. It's free. It doesn't cost anything, and you can have all these really cool ships and uniforms and gear and everything. It's a lot of fun. And they got a panel set up there and everything. And here's the little nugget about that game. That game is officially sanctioned by CBS, and so the storylines that they have on there, they take place 50 years after Voyager. And I think it's 50 years after Voyager. And it's really cool because the storylines take place. It's linear. And they've even incorporated, at this point, they have incorporated the J.J. Abrams Kelvin timeline storyline and have interwoven it with the classic timeline that we're all familiar with. They've interwoven that into the game. So the content on there is, the new content, like endgame content, if you will, is under the form of what they call episodes, and you can play through the episodes, and it's really neat because right now what they're doing is they're actually have these temporal. You can play as a temporal agent, and so you start out in the 23rd century, which is like Kirk and Spock when they're, you know, starting their original 5-year mission, you know, on the Enterprise, the original Enterprise, the Constitution class, and you can go through time and help out different eras of or different timelines of Star Trek, and it's really cool what they're doing there. So I encourage you guys to check that out. If you like to play video games and you like Trek, that game's like phenomenal. It's awesome. It doesn't even cost anything. So anyway, yeah. I think right now, the 2 big conventions are in Vegas and New York City, And I think the other ones are, like you said on the last episode, they seem to be kind of blend into a general sci-fi convention. They kind of tag along, or maybe they're even a good majority of it, but there's not a lot of long-running, that I could at least find, long-running Star Trek conventions. And if there's anyone listening and you guys want to leave a comment, leave some comments and give us a little more info on that on the Facebook page or the Twitter page, it'd be great. I think that right now, I think there's a resurgence in Star Trek, which is cool. And I think that the films kind of came in at the right time to get people going again. Because, it surprised me how much the J.J. Abrams, his movies have actually rekindled interest in Star Trek. Because now you've got the Paramount redid all of the Next Generation episodes in high def. And they restored the source film and color corrected it and everything. And they did the same thing with the original series. And all the Trek movies are on Blu-ray now in high def, which is great. And I want them to do Deep Space Nine and Voyager. But Deep Space Nine is like my second place kind of series that I like. I know Jason's watching Deep Space Nine, and he's like, man, this is kind of drawn out. I go, wait till the end of season 3. That's when it really starts picking up. So I'd like to see a Blu-ray treatment for that series. But yeah, it's a cool time to be a Star Trek fan right now. Lots of cool stuff coming out and reissuing a lot of the Blu-ray sets. And it's awesome. And I need to get seasons 5, 6, and 7, and I'll have the whole run of Next Generation. But yeah, it's cool. And you can find some of that stuff on eBay for cheap. If you're a savvy eBay shopper. And I know me and you, Jody, we've been selling like crazy on eBay. We've got, and it's great. I mean, it's your hobbies can pay for themselves if you know what you're doing. And I've been selling.
Well, sure.
Yeah. I mean, I have a ton of stuff that I bought, back like 10, 15 years ago. And now people are hungry for this stuff. And I've been able to make some pretty good coin on it. I'm just trimming things down, you know what I mean? Because there's just some stuff I bought it to sell, you know?
Right.
I don't want to be in hoarders.
Things that you don't need anymore. I've got stacks of comics in my basement. It's just stuff that I know I'm not going to read again. I just didn't enjoy it the first time around, or it's worth more money than I paid for it, and it's like, this can go. Most of my comic book collection, I bet probably 80% of it, I don't know if I would necessarily miss.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad to say, but I guess when you have had 7,000 comics at one point, then you're still talking about...
That's a lot of comic books.
That's a lot of comics. Yes, it is. And, there's a lot of good stuff there, but there's also a lot of not so great stuff there.
Well, I'm finding it hard to part with my I'm finding it hard to part with my Knights of Pendragon series. It's really just tearing me up.
Oh, obviously, yes, of course. My Death's Head 2 comics also. No way. Don't make an offer on those.
Yeah, the showdown of the century, Death's Head versus Deathlok. Yeah, everybody wants to see that showdown.
They actually don't look that much for us. They look fairly close.
Yeah, they do. I used to get them confused when I was like 11 years old.
They're metallic and lame. That's all I can tell you, is they're metallic and lame.
Yeah, I wonder if their creators got fired just for actually creating them. Maybe they were scorned, I don't know. I don't know, Jeff Johns did Sir Laser a lot, so, he's still got a job, so...
But yeah, it is nice to the fun things, and I don't know. I guess when I sell junk that I don't want and buy junk on eBay that I do want, I feel less guilty buying the junk. Well, you got rid of the other junk that you don't want, so if you want to, buy this instead, by all means. That's what the money was from.
Well, yeah, I did. I bought guitars. I bought guitars.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the stuff I've got that I've sold, people, I mean, oh boy, I, It's like having a second job, and it's like very minimal effort on my part, because it's like, okay, take some pictures, put it on eBay, box it up, and mail it out. Ooh, you know, real hard. And it's great. And I was able to buy, I bought two guitars I really wanted. I got a Zakk Wylde Bullseye Les Paul, which I've always wanted. And he's the guitarist for Ozzy Osbourne. And if you guys had seen his guitar before, it looks like it has a bullseye on it. It's kind of a white guitar with a black graphic on it. It's really cool. And then I got a Steve Vai Ibanez Gem electric guitar. And Steve Vai was David Lee Roth's guitarist and Frank Zappa's guitarist for a while. And he's awesome. He's great. I've met him a couple times. But that's the kind of thing where you make the hobby pay for itself. You know, it's really not any cost. You know, I would encourage people to take the time to look around and say, like, hey, do I really need this? It's just sitting in a closet? Get rid of it. You don't need it.
And right.
If you're in a particular position where, you know, I've worked with people that they end up moving around the country quite frequently every few years. They're like, we just got sick of lugging the stuff around. Get rid of it, because it costs you money to pack it up and ship it around. I mean, you got to have moving costs and everything. So that's my thing, is I'm on an effort to trim down and just turn it in, because a lot of stuff I bought is stuff that I intended to sell 10, 15 years down the road, and while that time's here, and I'm making out pretty good. So a lot of times I'm like you, Jody, where I would swoop into a clearance sale or a store closing, and some of the big ticket items I've sold so far are items that were at a Hastings in Kennewick when that was shutting down back in 2008 or 2009. Well, that's been 6 or 7 years. They had like Entertainment Earth exclusive Star Wars toys and that kind of thing. And I bought those on the cheap. And I paid $10 for a Joker Squad set. And I sold it for $109. I mean,
hey, that's a pretty deal.
Yeah. No, excuse me. I sold it for $190. Excuse me.
Oh, that's an even better deal.
Yeah, yeah. So what I did is I wheeled and dealed with the guy. I think it was selling for $220. And I was like, you know what? I'll take $190 over versus the $10 I paid for it. That's fine. And I made up pretty good there. So I was able to put that money towards a guitar I really wanted. So there you go. And I play the guitar every day. The toys are sitting in a closet collecting dust, not doing anything with them. So I looked at them and said, I don't need this. And would I be heartbroken if it's gone? Nope, not at all. And so I think it's important that people take a look at their collections and decide, you know, I'm going to bite the bullet here and get rid of this, because I probably need the money worse than I need something sitting in my closet not being used. And you don't want to get in the habit of being a hoarder, because next thing you know, you're going to be swimming in boxes of merchandise and things you don't need. And, you know, Jody, you and I are familiar with a guitarist or a comics establishment that it may still be around that is notorious for that, where he's got merchandise all over his comic books and won't sell it because he wants too much money for it. And it's crazy. You know, it's got the IRS after him or whatever, and it's just, you know, I won't say who, but it's one of those deals where you get in a position where you're just swimming in merchandise, and if you're not careful, your house could end the same way, and your house can, because you can't buy everything. You know, and especially with the Star Wars stuff, it's in your face so much, it's easy to go and buy a lot of it because you can get it in the store. You know, so me personally, I tap the brakes. You know, you can't have everything. So, what are your thoughts on it, Joe? Do you think that's pretty good? Sound good?
Yeah.
It's, you know, we're getting up on the 1 hour 19 minute mark here.
Wow.
Yeah, we flapped our gums quite a bit.
I'm going to tell you, the chocolate cake's starting to wear off.
Yeah, same here. My cold medicine is wearing off at this point. But yeah. Hey, so, Jody, you got anything else? You got anything else to add?
No, I talked about my birthday wares. I talked about talked about eBay being pretty good for us. Did you want to give your seller name out there or not really?
I think I'm gonna wait till I get some more stuff out there. I don't really want to promote my stuff that much, but because I'm doing okay as is, I don't really need to. But,
I'll give mine's Recal fans big surprise. You can look me up, and if you have a strong interest in Swamp Thing trade paperbacks or Punisher comics or trying to think of something really crappy, Spider Woman miniseries, then I'm your man.
You got Swamp Things? Oh, cool. Swamp Thing paperback?
Oh, it's an Alan, actually it's an Alan Moore one. For printing 1987, could be yours for a low, low price of $5.95.
That's a pretty good deal. It's signed by Adrian Barbeau and Dick Durock.
Signed by Adrian Barbeau.
And Dick Durock. Remember Dick Durock?
He's the guy that was in the suit, right?
And he was the actor, yeah. They use his voice.
Remember
he fought that squid guy? There was that guy that was like part squid, and he was doing...
No, I have never seen that at either of those movies or the show.
It's very low rent, man. It's bad.
We think there was, what, two movies, a live-action show, and a cartoon that began... action figure series? Is that sound about right?
Yep, Kenner. Kenner made the... Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
They were pretty good toys.
They were awesome toys. Dude, everything that Kenner put out was awesome.
They were KB Toy Big Ben Special. A Big Ben out front for 5 for 10. These Swamp Thing toys, we could give them away with a... They couldn't give them away for anything, so they went out in the bin 5 for 10.
Yeah, Waterworld toys, same thing. You know, it was the...
Waterworld! Yeah, right next to the... Warriors of Virtue toys or
Warriors of Pirates of Dark Water. Those are cool toys, but the cartoon did not take off well.
No, was that a Deke production? I believe it was.
Yes, that's correct. And it was on a weird time slot.
Yeah, it was like I think it was on like 8 o'clock Saturday morning, ABC, something like that.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Toys were cool. They were compatible. They were the same company with the Gloob that made the Captain Planet toys.
Yeah, and also the Game Genie. Gloob made the Game Genie as well for the Nintendo. And yep.
We'll wrap it up. But you said earlier having. You said, and I was going to mention this, you were talking about, you know, having all the secrets, playing a video game and having all the secrets revealed for you. I was never a fan of the Game Genie. I always felt bad using it. I felt like I was tapping into some sort of inner code that I wasn't supposed to be.
Why don't you
just learn to play better and you wouldn't need all this stuff?
I liked it because it was getting revenge on all those games that wasted my time.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That was true for some games, but some games were so hard that when you're 8 or 9, there's no way you're going to be able to beat that or put in the time or you get all the way to the end. There was not a lot of save points or anything back then. You'd have to start over from scratch, so I get it.
Yeah, well, you know what? Case in point being Fester's Quest. I used the Game Genie on that. It still took me 2 hours to beat it with the Game Genie. That's terrible. And that game, the ending of the game sucked major. It was terrible. And, oh, man, I still can't believe I even spent 2 hours at age 35 with a Game Genie playing that to finish it. But I always wanted to finish it.
This just happened? I thought you did it as a kid.
No, this just happened about probably in January. I'll just go on record saying it. And I am ashamed of myself. But it's kind of cool.
Hey, you're a grown man using the Game Genie and to beat Fester's Quest. That's pretty funny.
Hey, man, I had to check the box. You know, it was one of those boxes I wanted to check. I have the Game Genie, and I want to. I just bought the Knight Rider NES game, that game is ridiculous hard. You keep running out of time, but it's a fun game though. But anyway, hey, you know what, guys. Maybe next time we will do a NES game episode. We'll talk about some video games. And, you know, I think what we're going to do, Jody, if you're okay with this, I think we're probably going to start talking some maybe 80s comics. I think that'd be a lot of fun to start getting into some of that.
Sure.
And maybe
you better keep your pen and legal pad out. And we got 80s comics, Arby's. We gotta have a Cracker Barrel episode. Sorry, you said 80s comics. NES. We got a lot of topics here to cover somewhere down the line.
I will go and just tell you that we'll never run out of stuff to talk about, Jody. This podcast would be like, I mean, we've never even scratched the surface all the stuff we could talk about. I mean, it's awesome. And so I'm still like stoked that we're doing this show. But anyway, yeah. So with that being said, guys, we really appreciate you hanging on for an hour and 25 minutes. Joe, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No, thanks for listening, guys. And I think we'll be back sooner than later here.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, we're going to keep the momentum going on this. So, all right, guys. Well,
help spread the word. Give us more feedback, more suggestions, anything. Please let us know and leave us a review on iTunes if that is your. I know it's not yours, Justin, but if that is your mode of downloading the show, we're on iTunes. I'm just thinking of stuff off the top of my head. We're on iTunes. We're on Audio Boom. You can leave us some audio feedback on Audio Boom. And we're on Libsyn.
Yeah, and if you love us, tell a friend. And if you don't, tell an enemy, because we'll still be here tomorrow.
You can find us. And we're on Stitcher. I forget to add. I think
we're on Stitcher now.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're on Stitcher.
A lot of folks use Stitcher, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so places where you can find us. If you're listening to this, obviously you already know that. So, but and look for us on Facebook. We already gave out all the Twitter stuff. So,
yeah, guys.
Good deal.
Yeah, it's awesome. So we look forward to getting another episode out there in short order. So, hey, you guys have a really good Labor Day weekend, and be safe out there. Okay, bye.